Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyana wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this a gathering by which we get to know you better, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this a gathering by which we understand ourselves better, Ya Allah, and we clean our hearts from the spiritual diseases that are in our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to make this gathering a gathering by which our sins are forgiven and we gain your pleasure, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So this week we're continuing with Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba Rahimahullah Ta'ala's Masalik al-Jinan, in which he speaks about certain vices, spiritual vices of the heart, that we as believers are obligated to clean and purify our hearts from. For so long we learn Islam and we just focus on the external. The entire purpose of this class and this session is to realize that وَذْرُ ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمُ وَبَاطِنَ, that we really have to focus on the inner aspects of ourselves, rectifying our inner selves, and thereafter the external will become right. If we just focus on the inner, the external will become right, inshaAllah ta'ala. Last week we didn't have class because it wasn't a spiritual sickness, but the real sickness. I wasn't feeling good last week, so we had to cancel class. So now we're back to the spiritual diseases, inshallah. Feeling a little better from the physical, now we focus back on the spiritual, inshallah ta'ala. And so the class before last, we spoke about a spiritual disease. Now I just want everyone to understand the purpose of studying it. The purpose of studying the spiritual diseases is so that first and foremost you can identify them within yourselves. You're never learning these things just to identify them in other people. You're rather learning them so that you can identify these things in yourself and you can purify your heart and have a beautiful relationship with Allah through your heart. By learning these vices, a person is able to look inside and introspect and focus on how to better their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this week actually we're studying one major sickness of the heart. And I'm going to preface this sickness with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said in one narration, "Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum ash-shirk al-asghar." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The thing that I fear for you most," and he's addressing us, his ummah. He's saying, "The thing that I fear for you most is a shirk al-asghar, the minor form of shirk." Now, shirk, just for those who don't know, shirk is to associate partners with Allah, to make things equal with Allah. And common sense tells us that nothing is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing at all. But shirk is to take other things, whether they be people, whether they be things, whether it be money, whether it be concepts, and to make those things equal to Allah, that is what shirk is. And the believer, that is the biggest sin, to make things equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this hadith, this narration of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the thing I fear for you most is something called shirk al-asghar, the minor form of idolatry, the minor form of shirk. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they said, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma shirk al-asghar? They're like, Ya Rasulullah, we never heard this before. What is this minor form of idolatry? What is this, Ya Rasulullah? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, and this is the word we're going to be talking about throughout the whole class today. So I want you to write this down in your notes. It's a very important concept. Ar-Riya. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ar-Riya. Riya. So in your notes, R-I-Y-A or something like that. I don't know how you want to spell it. Riya. Okay? And the Prophet ﷺ, he explained, he said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of resurrection, when everyone is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in order to finish this hadith, I need you to understand something. Our whole lives, we've been striving to please Allah. We've been doing righteous actions to please Allah. We've been feeding people. We've been taking care of our parents. We've been taking care of our children. We've been doing everything we have to do. Why? For the sake of Allah. So on that day, when we stand in front of Allah, Allah smiles at us and says, I'm happy with you. I'm happy with your struggle. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says in this hadith, now let's come back to the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says that Allah will say, قِيلَ لَهُمْ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا جُزِّيَ النَّاسِ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ اِذْهَبُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَرَاؤُونَ فِي الدُّنْيَا هَلْ تُجِزَوْنَ عِنْدَهُمْ هَلْ تَجِدُونَ عِنْدَهُمْ خَيْرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to some people who used to do righteous actions that why don't you go to those people who you used to do your actions for and see if you have any reward with them. Don't come to me for actions. Don't come to me for a reward. And what this speaks about is the concept of riya. Riya means ostentation. It means to show off in your actions. It means to have a gharad or a motive other than purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a major, major, major disease of the heart because of the implications that it has for us. Our entire life, striving for the sake of Allah, to only find out that none of it was accepted by Allah because we didn't do it for the sake of Allah. I'll share one more hadith and I'm going to get into the book. The Prophet ﷺ said, on the Day of Judgment, the first three people that will be questioned will be the martyr, the philanthropist, and the scholar of religion. Allah will call these three people in front of everyone. Now if you conceptualize, the martyr gave everything. The martyr gave his entire life for the sake of God. The philanthropist gave all of his money, her money, for the sake of God. And the scholar, all they did was study and teach these people, supposedly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when these three people are called, He'll call them one by one. And He'll say first to the martyr, what did you do with your life? Like, I gave you a life. You had time on this planet. You had an opportunity. And we really need to look at life as an opportunity. Every breath is a gift from Allah. Don't take it for granted. So He'll say, I gave you life. What did you do to it? The martyr will reply, what do you mean? I gave my life. I sacrificed everything. My blood, my sweat, my tears. My wife is crying, my kids are crying, my mother is crying, everything sacrificed for you. And he stands there and he's happy. Allah says, Kadabta, you're lying. But rather you did it so that people would say that you were a brave person, that you were a strong person. And people said it. So go to them and ask them for your reward. And one by one, Allah will ask, then the philanthropist, what did you do with all the money that you had? He will say, Oh Allah, Ya Allah, I gave all my money for your path, for you. And Allah will say, Kadabta, you're lying. That's not why you really did it. The purpose of today's class and what we're going to learn today, brothers and sisters, is we need to start asking ourselves one question more often. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Today's whole lesson, as we get deep into it, is all about the why behind everything. Why are we here right now? What pushed you to come here? What pushed you to come and sit in this hot room? It's getting hot, right? What pushed you to be here? What was the incentive? If you passed away, may Allah protect us, right? But if Allah took your life right during this gathering or right after, and He said, what were you doing? What was the last thing you were doing? You would say, I was in the halaqa, yo. We were learning about you. Or will Allah say, kadabta, you went so you could check the shorties out. Astaghfirullah. Why you gotta say that, Shaykh? Come on. That's a good intention too, like, you know. I'm just saying, man. You know, guy, I keep it real with y'all, so. Right? Will Allah say, seriously though, back to the point. What is your reason for coming? What's your purpose? So that's what this lesson is about today. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba is warning us from a very, very dangerous, dangerous, dangerous sin of the heart. And that is that your actions become not motivated by the sake of Allah. They're motivated because people are watching you. They're motivated because people see you. And the reason why this is so terrible is because it means that there's no, here's a key word, I need you to know this word. There's no ikhlas in your amal, your action. There's no sincerity in, no, not sincerity. How do we translate ikhlas? There's no purity in your actions. The incentive, she had that was good, on point. It's not pure. See, I'm going to come to the book, but I really need us to grasp this. The problem with riyah is that there's an alternative or ulterior motive motivating the actions that you're doing. And so that means there's no ikhlas. But the entire purpose of our worship, we pray 5 times a day, if not more. We do all of this action. What is the purpose of the ibadah? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Allah says, we were only ordered to worship Allah and have ikhlas, purity of intention. What is purity of intention? So let's break it down this way. So when you look at riyah, guys, there's going to be 4 levels of riyah. 4 levels of riyah. And I need you to introspect on this for yourself. The first level of riyah. By the way, the word riyah comes from the Arabic word ru'ya. And ru'ya means to see something. So what you have to understand is that sometimes being seen as righteous can be a motivation for you to do righteous deeds. But I'll say this again. In the atmosphere that we live in, oftentimes being righteous is not rewarded. So nowadays, outside of the masjid, outside of the Muslim community, to be righteous is a mujahida. So ain't no riyah, yo. Because ain't no one patting me on the back on campus for walking around with a scarf on my head or praying when I gotta pray. Even my own family's hollering at me. SubhanAllah, I was in New York, I was in Brooklyn this weekend, and a young sister, she came up to me, and she's like, I don't know if I should pray or not. And I'm like, why? She's like, because whenever I pray, my dad says, God didn't create you to be on your knees, get up. What are you doing? It's a Muslim family. So it's a Muslim family. So I was talking to her. I was like, yeah, so inshallah they'll accept Islam. She's like, no, hold on, Sheikh. They Muslim. I was like, subhanallah. So for her, this concept of riyah, she's like, what do you mean riyah? I'm getting in trouble for praying here. You know what I'm saying? So for some of us in the room, if we're struggling in an environment that's going against our deen, riyah isn't even in our mind. But riyah can slip up and creep up. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith, he said, riyah creeps up, is as silent as a black ant on a stone underneath another stone. The Prophet ﷺ said, that's how slowly this concept of riyah jumps up. So let me talk about 4 levels of riyah. Yes. Can you check the live stream? What, the Instagram? Okay, just take care of it. Jazakallah khair. So, what happened? Oh, a phone call. My bad. It's not my phone. Y'all know I got rid of my smartphone, all right? No. Nah, I did. I don't have a smartphone no more. It's not mine. It's my wifey's, okay? Okay. I think it worked. No, it's working. But hold on. Okay. Wallahi, it's the best thing I've done, yo. Getting rid of the smartphone? Alhamdulillah. All right, go ahead. Okay. Jazakallah khair, sister. Okay, 4 levels of riyah, and then we'll get into Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba. Remember, riyah is all about recognizing when there's other things mixed up in the motive behind the action. So the worst form of riyah, the worst form, is a person who has zero incentive or motive for the reward from Allah, the only motive behind the action is that someone is watching that person. That's the worst form of riya. This is almost pure shirk, you could say. That's the first, the worst form. The second form, the second level, is that the intent for reward is there, but it's really weak. Really weak. So let's say the intention to get reward from Allah is now is here. But the motivation because people are watching is up here. And here's the key. If people weren't watching, the action wouldn't happen. That is the second form of riya. And there's no reward if this is your action. That means like if people are watching, you're going to salli. If no one's around, you're not going to salli at all. You know what I'm saying? That's the second form. Number three. Both of them are equal. Meaning the motivation due to people watching and the motivation for the reward are, they're both right at the same spot. Meaning if either one wasn't there, you couldn't do it. But when they're both there, you could do it. You feel me? When both of them are there, it gives you enough motivation to do it. But if either one wasn't there, then you wouldn't be able to do it. And the fourth one, and this is where I feel myself or most of us are at, which is that people watching makes it easier to do, but you would do it if they weren't watching anyway. But the fact that they're watching, it gets a little easier to bust out two more rakah. You know what I'm saying? Like you in the masjid sunnahs, you know, like, all right, cool, whatever. Allahu Akbar. I'm over there, is right there. MashaAllah. You know, but if they wasn't there, then it would be a little harder to do. So this is riya. Now this fourth one brings us to another category. And I swear we're going to start Sheikh Ahmed inshallah rahimahullah. It brings us to something called ar-riya al-khafi. The lower form of riya. Now listen to this. Imagine you always pray Fajr, right? You always wake up for Fajr. But it's hard to wake up for Fajr. Okay? You wake up every day, but it's hard. And one night you're hosting somebody. There's someone spending the night at your house. You're hosting someone. So now, you always get up, right? But now since, you know, my man Mu'adh is staying at my house, when the alarm comes off, hop up. It's easier. It's easier. Even though I already did the action, even though it was hard, the fact that him being present made it easier for me is indicative of a lesser form of riya within my heart. Now, hear me out. This doesn't throw my action off, but it's indicative of something deeper in my heart. You feel me? You feel what I'm saying, right? And then a lower level, this is like rare, is it doesn't even make it easier for you, but I'm happy that Muaz saw me get up for Fajr. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't make it easier. It was still hard, but just him knowing that I got up, it brought some joy to my heart. That's the lowest form right there. Like if you can get past that, then alhamdulillah, you're good. Now the question comes up then, but yo, it always feels good if people see my righteous actions. What do you mean? Like if I'm at home, just happen to be reading the Mus'haf, you know, and my mom walks in and she's like, you know, Sada, oh, you're reading the Quran. Oh, never mind, I'll ask your sister. You know what I mean? I'll ask your brother. So you feel happy, naturally. We would all feel happy. So Ghazali, he says like, so you're telling me if I feel happy that someone saw an action, this is riya? He says, no, There's two types of happiness. One is when you tried your best to hide the action. You didn't want no one to see. Because you know, I need this pure. So you tried your best to hide it. Then all of a sudden, you know, mom opens the door and she sees you. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Tilka al-bushra ajila al-mu'min." That someone asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we do an action and then we hide it, but people find out and they praise us." The Prophet ﷺ said, "That's a advanced bushra, glad tiding that Allah has given you." Do you know what I'm saying? It's an advanced glad tiding. Like Allah is happy with the action that you've just done. You tried your best. So Ghazali says, it's not about you feeling good. It's about whether you tried either clearly or, you know, inadvertently to let people know that you did that action or not. You feel me? So you tried your best to hide it, and yet it still came out. Then then that's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last thing before we get straight into it, the question then is, should I hide all my actions, right? But what if I'm motivating my boys, you know, when they see my actions? Just remember this. Imam Ghazali says, just think of it like swimming. Just think of it like swimming. If you're not a good swimmer and there's a bunch of people drowning, you're not supposed to jump in. Because this is going to be another dead person. Right? Same way. If your actions aren't strong enough, then you need to hide actions so that you build up strength. Not sit there worrying about how I'm going to save everybody else. How are you going to save everybody else? You're not strong enough yet. But if you're at a straight way, no, you're good. I'm good. Like, alhamdulillah. And we'll talk about a sign that you're good in a minute, inshallah. Then at that point, you could do open deeds and it doesn't even matter. You feel me? Yeah.
Oh, so where's like good company that motivate you from? So like if all your friends are meeting at the masjid, like oh, that's a motivator for you to also go to the masjid. Or if you're in good company, you're more likely to not skip a salah.
Yes.
How is that?
I mean, okay, the question is like, okay, what if we use good company to help us do good? Isn't that type of riyah? So you got to remember, we're at a different level. If I'm using good company to motivate me, then that's good for the level I'm at, but that's not my ultimate goal. Listen to this, just so everyone has encouragement. Some of the scholars say this, if you get one moment in your life of ikhlas, you get Jannah. If you get one moment in your life where your action was purely for the sake of Allah and no other reason whatsoever, you gain Jannah for that one action. One moment. So what I'm trying to say is, it's not like, it's a work in progress. You get what I'm saying? So like, I have a group where we check off on WhatsApp. Well, I had it on my other phone. But anyways, where we would check off if we did our wirds, right? And the purpose behind that is to be collective motivation so that we can get to the point where it becomes regular. But guess what? I want to be to the point where I don't even need that group anymore. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's the goals. And that's helping me get to it. You feel me? Okay. So let's read Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba rahimahullah ta'ala. He says what we just talked about, but way better, way smoother. Bismillah. قال شيخنا حقيقة السمعة في قول الرضي إخبار سعي صالح لغرضي. Two words. We talked about riya. There's another word that's similar. It's called sum'a in Arabic. From the word semi'a, to hear. So you ever you're like, oh, I heard of you before. I've heard of you. Like that statement, I've heard of you. Like that right there is the Prophet said, man sam'a yusamma'hu Allah. Whoever does things to be known. Sum'a. So people go, oh, I know you. You're Mikael. Oh, I know you. The Prophet said, if you do that, then this is sum'a. It's a type of riyah. So he says that haqiqatu sum'a, the reality of sum'a. Remember, sum'a and riyah are the same thing. It's just a slightly different thing. Sum'a is when you want people to hear about your actions. You want people to hear about your actions. Riyah is when you're motivated by people seeing your actions. Both of them are sisters of one another, as he's going to say. Haqiqatu sum'a, the reality of sum'a is ikhbaru sa'yin salihin. To let people know about your righteous actions, لغرضي, for some intent, for some purpose. So you let people know, yeah, I was at the masjid yesterday. Why? You have something you're trying to get from there. يُنْسَبُ لِلدُّنْيَا, something from the dunya. You're taking this righteous action and you're trying to get some dunya from it. We'll talk about that in a minute. كَمَدْحٍ, like praise of people. You want people to praise you. You want attention. You just want people to praise you. وَعَجَبْ, and you want to make yourself feel better. Ujab, conceit. وَهِيَ أُخْتٌ لِلْرِيَا فِي النَّسَبْ. It's the sister of riya, which we've been talking about the whole time. أَمَّا riya. So now he's talking about riya. Listen to what he says. أَمَّا الرِّيَاءُ فَهُوَ أَنْ يَسْأَلْ فَتَى لِقَصْدِ تَعْذِيمِ الْوَرَىٰ إِنْ ثَبَتَى. He says riya is that you strive, a person strives, so that the people or creation holds them in veneration, holds them up. Remember this, the purpose is not to gain people's love, the purpose is to gain Allah's love. That's the key. And the person that has riyah motivating them, especially in ibadah. Now remember, riyah can be in anything. It could be in secular worldly things, but the blameworthy one is the one in religion. When you're showing off in religion, to gain, because sometimes you could just have a nice car and you show off with your nice car to get something. But that's not using dunya. We're talking, that's not using ibadah. We're talking about when you use your ibadah to gain something with people. Do you understand what I mean by that? So what does he say? He says, لِقَصْدِ تَعْذِيمِ الْوَرَىٰ. Your intention is so that people hold you in high esteem. أَوْ جَلْبِ خَيْرٍ. Or your intention is that you want to pull some good to you. You know, if people see you as righteous and see these good deeds, you'll pull good to you. أَوْ لِدَفْءِ شَرِّ. Or the other reason you're doing this is to push away some harm from you. كَتَلَبِ الْمَالِ. Like seeking wealth. أَوْ خَوْفِ ذُرِّ. Or fear of harm. Then he says, وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي قَسْتِهِ الدُّنْيَا إِذَا لَمْ يَنْوِي خَيْرًا مَعَهَا. He says, now, what if my intention in an action, hear me out. Say I work 9 to 5 hard to take care of my family, right? My only intention in going to work 9 to 5 is to put food on the table. In my mind, it never crosses my mind I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Is that action accepted by Allah? You get the question. So I work 9 to 5. I'm working hard, man. And my only intention, motivation, remember, intention, the thing pushing me, is to put food on the table for my wife and my children. None of my intention goes back to Allah. He says, اختلفوا في قصده الدنيا. The scholars have a difference of opinion regarding someone whose intention is only dunya. Like the example I gave. And so there's two opinions. One is that because the thing he's striving for is a righteous thing, then that goes in his hasanat, his good deeds. And the other is that no matter what the action is, you have to have intention in your heart that it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you feel me? So basically, if you were just struggling on the grind, because I'm taking care of my mom, and my full intention is to take care of mom, most of the scholars say that's enough of an intention, inshallah. Because you're doing it because that's rewarded by the sake of Allah. That's rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fahamt? So he says, so you get it. You get why this is even an issue? Because when we're talking about ikhlas, that my action should only be for the sake of Allah, then the question is, what if I'm doing it for my mom and not for the sake of Allah? Well, if that was done because that is the thing that Allah has commanded me to do, then that's beautiful. It's accepted by Allah as the same as doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other scholars go, no, you know what? Even if it's something that you're commanded to do, you should have Allah in the front of your mind. So if I'm taking care of my children, if I'm taking care of my wife, or she's taking care of me, whatever, then my primary thing should be like, this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell you. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ هَذِهِ. He's like, if you don't have any of this inside of you, riya, you're not showing it off. Like you're not doing the action so other people can see you. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي هَذِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُدْعَى بِإِخْلَاسِ. He said, if you don't have any of this, you have ikhlas. You have that quality that your action is pure, not sincere, pure. There's nothing else mixed in it. There's no other ulterior motive in the action that you're doing. فَأَتْقِنْ شَأْنَا. So he's like, make this your state. Like, make this your state. وَمَنْ يَكُنْ لِلْخَلْقِ ذَلْتِفَاتِ. Whoever is a person that's constantly looking at people, constantly ittifat. Ittifat means all you do is keep looking at people all the time. He says, fi sa'yihi fabiriya'in atin. He's like, if you're a person that's constantly looking at other people, you will most likely fall into riya. What this teaches us is this. The purpose, what he's trying to focus on is that we should not be people so focused on other people all the time, but rather our focus should be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what happens is, when you're focusing on the other people, you lose sight of the focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind the action. So he said, if you're a person constantly looking over your shoulder, what do they think? What do they think? What do they think? What do they think? Then first of all, your mind is shattata. Your mind is all over the place, trying to please everyone. But if you're focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's where the ikhlas comes from. So he says, go back. He says, لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي هَذِهِ مَنْ يَكُونُ لِلْخَلْقِ ذَلْتِفَاتِ. The person who is constantly looking at all the people, فِي سَعْيِهِ, while they're struggling, while they're striving to please Allah, فَبِرِيَاءٍ آتٍ. This person will fall into riyah real quick. So what that tells you, brothers and sisters, is once you get on the grind of your deen, You need to put the blinders on sometimes and focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you keep worrying about what Ahmed thinks, what Muhammad thinks, what, you know, Mahmoud thinks, if you keep focusing on them, they're going to throw you off the path. They're going to throw you off the path. Why are they throwing you off the path? Because you're so concerned about what they think. And that's what's dangerous. Nam, walau khala. He says, yes, even if you do the action by yourself. What he's saying right now, brothers and sisters, is what we just talked about. That you can have riyah and the action be completely hidden from everyone. You did the action and nobody saw. But it's still considered murai. Why? Because your heart was like, I hope everyone knows about this one day. So again, this is the way the scholars break it down. If the riyah, the thought of people knowing, comes after the action. So let's make this practical, right? You go home and you're like, yo man, alhamdulillah, man, I'm 2 rakah, man, for the sake of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Bam, you break out the 2 rakah, right? And it was only for the sake of Allah. Right after you done, you're like, dang, man. Something comes up, like, man, I wish someone had seen this. Then Imam Ghazali, he explains the action is pure. Because you did it pure, the action is still pure. The thing that will destroy the action completely is that thought coming before you do the action and becoming the motivation behind the action. Yes. So the thing he's going to talk about is, remember this, once you make intention to do something, don't let the presence of people or the lack of presence of people stop you from that righteous action. So sometimes, like you said, shaitan's like, wow, you sat in a halaqah, you know all about riyah. So you know what? Don't pray those 2 rakats because you're just showing off. And at that point, you have to say, I have to do the action. I have to push through the action. I say to myself, what's the intention that I have? And we'll talk about specifically in a minute how you're going to cure riyah in a minute. But you just make your intention. This is why I'm doing the action, and you keep moving forward. Yes.
If something starts as riyah, but you continue to do it, will you always be not punished?
Yes, so that's a great question. Basically, what Imam Ghazali explains is every action for most of us is going to have a level of riyah with some sincerity in it. Like very seldom, like we said, you get one sincere action, you got Jannah. Most of us, there's a level of riyah. So what Imam Ghazali explains is that you'll be rewarded for that which was pure, but you won't be rewarded for that which was not pure. So the question she's asking though is, if you started the action with riyah, like it depends though, sister. Remember, we talked about 4 levels. There are some people who, I'm about to read Quran right now anyway. Like I want to read it. Even if the house is empty. But the fact that my sister is here, it makes it easier for me. So that I'm going to still do that. Why? Because my pure motivator, the strongest motivation was actually the reward. The thawab, the reward. The fact that my sister was in the house, it just made it a little easier. That is a bad sign. That shows me there's something stuck in my heart. But the action is still a beautiful action. The problem though, for the problem which is destructive, is when it becomes purely because people are watching. Or a large portion of it is because people are watching. But again, for most of us struggling in the deen in an environment that goes against, we're like, yo, what you talking about, man? Like, yeah.
So, tarkul amal, khawf al-riyah is worse than...
Yeah, tarkul amal, to leave out an amal because of people is just as bad as doing an amal, an action for people. Let me say that again. He's going to explain it. It's coming in a minute. To stop doing an action because of people. Oh, they're going to see me. And then they're going to think, I'm doing this to show off to them. So you know what? I'm not going to do the action. No. Shaitan just played you, like. Shaitan just played you, right? No. He's to leap. Remember, here's the key. It's going to come in a minute. This sounds really, really like... I mean, this is a little advanced, like, spirituality. So listen. He says here in a moment. Listen to this. Let me read this, okay? He says, وَلَوْ سَعَى بَيْنَ الْوَرَىٰ كُلِّهِمِ لِكَوْنِهِمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ كَالْأَدِمِ. He says, your action will be mukhlis even if you did an action in front of the entire creation with everyone watching you, when your heart is at a state where everyone is kal-adam. Kal-adam means their presence or lack of presence doesn't matter to you. كالعدم means it sounds harsh. It means they're like nothing. But it doesn't mean they're like nothing. It means that their effect on your performing an action is like nothing. Whether you see me or you don't see me, whether you praise me or you don't praise me, I'm still going to do the action. It's like Adam. It's like it never was there. Do you get what I'm saying? And so that's the thing. It doesn't matter in reality whether the action is open or hidden. What matters is if the action is open, are the people the thing that is motivating it? And can you be like the person who kal'adimi? The reason why most of us can't... Okay, so write this down. It's very important. Imam Ghazali says there are three sources to riya. There are three things. If you want to cure it, how do we cure riya? There are three sources of riya. Listen closely. As we talk about the i'laj or the therapy for riya, you'll realize how to solve it. Number one is love for the pleasure of praise. You love the way praise feels. Feels good. I love it. It feels great. Not that it feels good. Feeling good is nothing that we can't control. But you love praise. The second thing is hatred for the pain of critique. Hatred for the pain of critique. Now you may be like, wait, aren't we supposed to hate? I'm like, no. My coach who's coaching me criticizes me to make me better. And I love it. Because it makes me better. He doesn't just sit there and praise me. Right? So you ever heard about growth mindset versus a fixed mindset? Right? Okay, good. So growth mindset loves critique because it helps me become a better person. The person who, the two base qualities, and there's a third one we're going to talk about. The two base qualities of riya is that you love the feeling that comes of praise. And you hate the feeling that comes with critique. Those are the two base things of it. The third, this is big. You desire what people have control over. And what do I mean by that? I have to realize right now, guys, let me use myself as an example. No one in this room can give me honor, yo. There's nothing anyone in this room can do to honor me. You know why? Because it's in the hands of Allah, yo. There's a hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to one sahabi, this is a beautiful hadith, and it's arba'een, right? Kuntu khalfa nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimatin. Ihfadillah yahfadka. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to a young boy, was it Ibn Abbas, right? He said to Ibn Abbas, understand this. If the entire world gathered together to cause some harm to you, they would never be able to harm you except for that which Allah has written for you. And if everyone got together to give you something, to honor you, to give you wealth, to make you rich, to make you well, whatever, they could never do it if Allah had never wrote that for you. So the concept is to realize, you know what? All of these people who are motivating my actions, they can't give me anything. They themselves can't. And Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba says it so beautifully. He says, how can a faqir help another faqir? A faqir means a poor person. They need Allah just as bad as you need Allah. So how can you, O miskeen faqir, help me, the miskeen faqir? In fact, the one who helps both of us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three things are the source of riya. You hate the pain of critique and people finding you blameworthy. That's why you hide your bad deeds and you want everyone to see your good deeds. You hide your bad deeds because you hate to be looked at down that poorly. But you want everyone to see your good deeds because you love the praise. Those are the two sources right there. And the third source is what? You feel like what people has that can benefit you, that can help me. And once you realize, you truly realize that, you know what? These people can't harm me nor benefit me except by Allah. Once that is truly ingrained, that's tawheed right there. You're a mu'min, yo. That's tawheed right there. You are a believer. You have tawheed like down. You walking around like, yeah, what's up? Try me. Nah, don't do it. You might get tried. Then they'll come the halakha with a black eye like, yo, what happened? Like, yeah, that's your fault, dude. I'd still tie your camel, you know what I mean? So you understand the sources. There's three sources. I hate critique. And again, I want you to understand, it's natural to not like, if someone tells me, any writers here? Any writers? I mean, not professional, but like you like to write. You're a writer? Like, your editor is your best, worst enemy, but best friend. We got Grammarly now, so we're good, right? Right? Everyone has a subscription, right? Like, your editor, what do? They critique your paper up, right? But they make you better. So there's a point where there's a love-hate relationship between people who criticize you to make you better. And then there's a love-hate relationship for people who just make me feel good all the time. Like, how was my paper? Oh, it was amazing. And then you hand in it like, yo, this is horrible. So I love you because you made me feel good, but I hate you because you didn't really care about me. So again, the concept is that I have to come to the conclusion mentally that no one in this room can benefit me anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. Then I'm going to bust out my rakah. I don't care about you. I'm going to pray because Allah is going to benefit me, not you. Because you can't benefit me. You're a miskeen like me. You feel me? SubhanAllah. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. So what does he say? He says next, he says, وَلَوْ سَعَى بَيْنَ الْوَرَىٰ. Even if you did your righteous actions in front of everyone, you're still mukhlis. You're still sincere and pure. Why? لِكَوْنِهِمْ فِي قَلْبِهِ كَالْعَدِمِ عَدَمِ. Because in your heart, it's like they're nothing. It's like they're nothing. Remember, like they're nothing sounds negative, but it doesn't mean... Y'all feel me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Because they are something, but... No, for real, like... With the gaze of Allah looking at me has overpowered and made infinitely small the gaze of the creation. The gaze of Allah watching my action has overpowered and made insignificantly minute and small the gaze of people watching me. Their gaze means nothing because I'm so concerned for Allah's gaze for me. Okay? Alright. وَمِنْهُ سَعْيُ الْمَرْءِ لِتَقَرُّبِ مِنْ حَذِرِ الرَّحْمَنِ عِنْدَ النُّخَبِ. Okay. Can we go a little higher level? Can we do like Islamic spirituality 2.0, like a little higher? Alright. So listen. Another type of lack of purity, they say Rabia al-Bisri. Rabia. She used to say, Ya Allah, if I'm worshiping you for heaven, throw me in hell. So listen, this is a higher level. I said higher level, higher level, higher level, higher level. All right. My action is purely for Allah, not for any of his gifts. You know what I'm saying? My action is purely for Allah. I'm not... This higher level, okay, all right. Because you know why I say that? Like for me and you to lower our gaze, you need to know that Allah said, whoever lowers their gaze from haram, Allah will give them, now here's the reward, the sweetness of iman in their heart. Now that's the gift. But that becomes my incentive. Like whoever says subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ told them a tree in Jannah is planted. So now here I am saying subhanallah, subhanallah, thinking about the reward of trees in paradise, right? Now that's still good for me and you, most of us. But when you get to a higher level, it's like, I just want you, Ya Allah. You feel me? So now he's talking about a higher level of ikhlas, where even the Jannah itself, the paradise itself, is a distraction from purely doing the action for the sake of Allah. All right. So what's up? You feel me? Alhamdulillah. Nah, I feel you. Alhamdulillah. Women who saw you, yo, they ain't from the city. They don't know, yo. They're like, what just happened? She spoke out of turn. From the Baltimore, I know what's up, yo. I know what's up. Nah, it is deep. Seriously, that's a higher level. And you know, it's like, it doesn't take just a Muslim to notice. My father, he's not a Muslim. He says this all the time. He'll say this to me. He'll be like, son, are you doing good deeds for heaven or for God? I'm like, yo, man, come Muslim first, yo. Like, come to heaven with me. Come on, let's go. Then we'll see, like, you know. But so people realize that, right? So anyways, but that's a higher level. But then he says something else. وَمِنْ هُسَعْيُكَ لِإِسْتِحْلَالِ. He says, another sign that you're not pure is you do righteous deeds because it makes you feel good. You know how it feels when you give someone a gift? No jokes. Like, giving gifts to people feels mad good. You feel like special. You feel holy. You feel amazing. So sometimes your righteousness just becomes a way to let that dopamine release. You get what I'm saying? So I'll see a poor person. I'll give them something. Now I feel good. So what was my intention? Oh, man, that's hard. That's hard because my nafs likes it. Yes.
But with that, isn't that human nature?
It is. It is.
So you can't really control it. Well, you could
limit it. Yeah, that's it. So think about, remember what I said, please. Yo, this is heavy. Remember this. Whoever has one moment of ikhlas in their entire life, Jannah. Like, the thing I need you to understand is ikhlas is not like, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. The only order is get ikhlas. Whole life purpose, get purity in your intention. So don't look at ikhlas, brother, like, oh, like it should be able to get quick, like a weekend seminar, I should get ikhlas. You know what I'm saying? No, this is lifetime journey. And maybe that last moment on the bed when you're like, La ilaha illallah, that ikhlas hits you. That is only for Allah. You feel what I'm saying? So I agree with you. There's a natural. But I'm trying to overpower that and make it not just what my heart feels is good. Because here's my question to you. What if something feels good, but Allah tells you to do something else? Don't we have to go against that? You feel me, right? How many examples are things where Allah will say, no, don't give to this person in need, or some example of something that goes against your natural love. It goes against your natural love. Then what? You see? That's where ikhlas comes in. You feel me? All right. A great question, though. But we struggling. But I told you, everyone, the point I felt after studying this and preparing this is that now my mind is just like, yo, why am I doing this action? Why am I here at halaqah right now, yo? Is there any other reason? Nah, I came to hear about Allah, and alhamdulillah, that's my only reason. If I see somebody, all right, alhamdulillah. Right. Yeah, what's up? Yeah, come on.
I know. When you do these good deeds,
yes.
That's an automatic feel, right?
Yes.
No, like when you do those good deeds, you get that good feeling, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So how can you stop yourself?
Don't.
From like you see.
But don't stop yourself. But make your motivation. Hold on. The overpowering motivation is Allah's pleasure, not that feeling. You feel me? The overpowering motivation behind the action is Allah's pleasure. Not that I don't get any good feeling. The good feeling comes because guess what? If the good feeling doesn't come, am I still going to do it or not? And many of us worship feelings, man. We worship our feelings. We'll come to halaqah when we feel it. We'll read Quran when we feel it. We'll fast when we feel it. I'll pray when I feel it. And if I'm not feeling it, I'm not doing it. We're worshiping feelings. You get what I'm saying? So like, I'm going to wake up for Fajr whether it feels good or not. Some days it feels great. I feel holy. I feel special. Other days I'm like, I just want to sleep. Thank you. But then that's how you know when ikhlas is there. You know how sometimes, guys, your spiritual strength drops and you don't feel like doing nothing? That's where you see if you have ikhlas. That's the best time. Because it's like, now you see what's real. Now you see what you really got inside. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm comparing too many things to jujitsu nowadays, so whatever. They say anyone who has a hammer, everything's a nail, right? So it's like, no. No, seriously, those low moments where you don't feel like doing anything, that's when you really see, was it truly for the sake of Allah? So when those moments come and you don't feel like doing dhikr, like, yeah, I don't feel like doing it, but I'm not doing it for feeling. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful questions, yo. Okay. Then he says, so one of the reasons that messes up your ikhlas is it feels good. You're doing it because you want to feel good. أو طلب الوصول واستدعاء تعظيم الخلق. Or you're trying to, طلب الوصول, you're trying to get into a position of wusul. Wusul means Wasala means to get close. So you're just trying to be of those people who are close, not trying to gain Allah's love for the action. أو لخرق العادة, or to gain some ability to do some karama. So like some righteous actions can be the means for you to be able to do karamat, right? Some of the righteous people had karamat, which means miraculous things. So are you doing these righteous actions to be a wali of Allah, to do weird things, or are you doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَهَكَذَا حُبُّ شُعُورِهِمْ بِهِ وَهُوَ رِيَا مَقْفِيٌ فَلْتَمْ بِهِ. Similarly, just people being aware of your action, this is riya makhfi, the hidden riya, faltam bihi. I already brought this up, which is the hidden riya is when no one knows, you did it quietly, but you wish they knew about it. That's the hidden type of riya. You have to watch your heart from that. Waminhu, waminhu. So now he just gives a few more things that are signs of riya. Waminhu itraqun ma'al khushu'i. Another sign of riya is you meet people. Like, we don't do this stuff, so many of y'all are going to be like, ah, oh, that's whack, right? You know, in the Bible, I believe it's either Isa, Jesus, that says, like, when you fast, oil your face and hair. I don't know if anyone, well, I'm the only guy from the Bible here, okay. So, like, when you fast, you shouldn't look like you're fasting. You don't walk around like, oh. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't look. So, there's a verse in the Bible where Jesus says, basically, like, oil your hair and face when fasting. So you don't look like, what's wrong with you today? Oh, I'm fasting. Okay? So what he's saying here is itraqin ma'al khushu, meeting people with like this like humbleness in your back. You know, you meet some people and they're like, assalamu alaikum. Like, yo, what's up? Like, why can't you just be like, that's not a sign of piety. So he's talking about outward forms of just like acting all pious and stuff. Inda liqa'ihim bila khudu'i. Wamenhu tarku sa'i dhil ifada. لأجلهم. The other sign of riya is when you stop doing an action that's beneficial because people are around. That's what he says. So whether they're around or not, you keep doing it. وَشُكْرُ لِزْدِيَادَ. Or you do more when they praise. So here's the deal. And me and my wife were debating this a minute ago. So like, you come home and you bring a gift for your spouse. But the response isn't, thank you, the response is like, so? Right? You didn't get the response you expected. Now, here's the deal. Now, this is high level stuff, all right? If your niya was what? Pleasing Allah. Her response doesn't affect the next time I'm bringing gifts. Because I didn't do it for you. And this is why we say love someone for the sake of Allah. And this is so hard for people to understand. So whether or not she praises me, she's happy with me that day, some other, you know, benefits, nah. I gave the gift and got screw-faced. I gave the gift and got told off. Guess what? I bring it tomorrow. Why? Because I didn't do it for you to be happy with me. If that came, alhamdulillah. La nuridu minkum. جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّمَا نُتَئِمُكُمْ. Allah says in the Quran that they feed people and they say, we do not wish for you any thanks. We did this for Allah. That's it. Again, higher level, bro. Higher level. Higher level. But it checks you. Sometimes people... What's up, yo?
Nah, I was just going to say, what if she's just upset because you're not getting her the right thing?
So ideally speaking, no, for real, she's upset because I got the wrong chocolate. Not the one with the M&Ms in it, the other one. So if she's a good Muslima, mashallah, she's going to still show appreciation. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. You thought about me. Nah. No, my point though, you get my point though, right? My point is that some people will do more when thanked and do less when not thanked. And that shows that it wasn't for this. Now listen, it's natural. I know it's natural. Again, what's your name, brother? Yeah. Tahmid. So what Tahmid said was beautiful. Like, it's natural that if you praise me, I'm going to give you more. But we're trying to overcome that and have this spiritual power inside. So it's natural that if I give him a gift and he's more grateful, I'm going to feel more inclined to give him a gift next time and less inclined. But I'm trying to overpower that with my love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I'm like, whether or not, can I give you an example from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the highest level of ikhlas. There was a sahabi by the name of Mista, right? Mista was his like nephew who was very poor. And he used to pay a stipend for him every month. When the fitna happened about Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and the daughter of Abu Bakr, and people started accusing her of zina, fornication, one of the sahaba who was spreading it was Mista. So the person who he's spreading rumors about is the daughter of the one financially taking care of him. When the Prophet ﷺ found out, he said, I'm not giving him anything. When Abu Bakr, when he found out, he's like, I'm done. I'm not giving anything. The verse was revealed regarding this. Like, do you not want Allah's forgiveness and Allah's fadl? It's in Surah Nur. You know what he started to do after that? He gave him double. He doubled it. Because he wants Allah's love. So he said, now you know what? Now I'm going to double his stipend. That's overpowering the nature.
Did he stop after that?
No. What do you mean? Oh, the sahabi was remorseful for spreading it in the first place. Yeah, he was remorseful for spreading it in the first place. The point was, his nature kicked in. Then when revelation came, the spiritual nature came out, which overpowered the nature. And he said, I'm giving double now. Feel me? Okay, let's keep going. How long has it been? Okay, a little bit, inshallah. Okay, where was I? He's going to talk about the cures right now. We started to talk about the cures. We're going to go deeper into the cures, okay? So he says now, ثُمَّ دَوَاءُ دَيْنِ أَن تَعْلَمَ أَنَّ بِيَدِهِ كُلُّ الْأُمُورِ فِي الزَّمَنَ. He says, ثُمَّ, the cure or the therapy for these two sicknesses, which is riya. Riya and showing off in your actions. The cure is أَن تَعْلَمَ, for you to know in the depths of your heart that anna biyadihi kull al umur, that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sounds like Sunday school, like, okay, I know that. No, it's a deeper level of knowing. It's truly knowing that if everyone in this room praised me, you guys can't give me anything. So I'm doing this halakha for the sake of Allah. That's it. Because no matter what, y'all can't give me anything. It's truly in the hands of Allah. You feel what I'm saying, right? So he says, and ta'lam, that you know everything is in the hands of Allah. Wal khalku, listen, he goes deeper. Wal khalku la yanfa'u nafsahu layat fa kayfa ghayrahu idhan min al ibad. He says the creation can't help themselves at all. So how are they going to help someone else? Like, that's heavy, guys. Like, subhanAllah, here I am doing these actions to please you because I feel that if you respect me, there's something you're going to give me, but you can't even give yourself what you need. So why am I doing actions for you? Why are you the motivation for my actions? وَالْخَلْقُ لَا يَنْفَأُ نَفْسَهُ لَيَادْ فَكَيْفَ غَيْرَهُ إِذًا مِنَ الْإِبَادِ ثُمَّ الْوَعِيدُ فِيهِمَا. He's like, now the next thing you have to remember is the warning that Allah and Prophet Muhammad have given us, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding the riya. Like all the hadith I just shared with you. The hadith I shared with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of judgment, ana bari'un minka. Whoever you did that action for, go get the reward from them. Don't come to me. Just imagine that. Let that sit in for a moment. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you come standing before Allah. Ya Allah, here are my actions. And he says, okay, great. Now go over to Abdullah because you did those actions for him. And see what he can give you. And of course, Yawm al-Qiyamah, what he going to give you? He can't give you anything. He says, وَالْوَعِيدُ فِيهِمَا يَا صَاحِ. And then remember the threat or warning given by Allah. Oh brother, شَدَّدَهُ الرَّحْمَانِ بِالتِّضَاحِ. Allah has made this clear in the Quran, the sin of shirk, right? وَمَثَلُ مُرَائِيًا. This is beautiful. He says, if you want to understand like a parable for a person showing off in their deeds, he says, بمن حوى جوهرة نفيسة قد استوى ثمنها مع الألوف كثرت فباعها بفلسة قد حقرت. He says the example of the person who shows off in their action is like someone who has a precious stone. They worked hard and they dug up a precious diamond. And then they took that diamond and they sold it for nothing. They sold it for nothing. That ibadah is the diamond. That worship you did is the diamond. But you sold it for nothing. You sold it so people could praise you. You sold it so someone could be, oh, he's such a pious guy, yo. She's such a pious woman. You sold it. It could have brought you Jannah. That was enough to buy you Jannah. That was enough to buy you Allah's pleasure, but you sold it for something cheap. So he says the example of the one who's showing off in their action is like the one who takes a very precious diamond, a very precious stone that's worth thousands, he says. فَبَعَ بِفَلْسَ فُلُوس, small فُلُوس. You sold it for a few pennies. قَدْ حَقُرَتْ, worth nothing. وَكَانَ بَيْءُهَا بِأَلْفِ أَلْفِ أَمْكَنَةً. He could have sold it for alfi alf. You could have sold it for thousands of thousands. Lola ishtidad al-dha'fi, if it wasn't for the weakness that you had. So here, we'll stop it here, inshallah ta'ala. No. Hold on. Just a little bit more. I'm sorry. Wa'mal liman idha, who do you do actions for? He ends strong. We'll end it here. Wa'mal liman idha lahu amilta. Do actions for the one that if you do actions for, biwajhi al-ikhlasi ridahu nilta. You will gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأْمَلْ لِمَنْ, do actions for the one. إِنْ تَكْتَسِبْ رِضَاهُ, if you gain their pleasure, يَكْفِيكَ فِي دَارَيْنْ, it will be enough for you in this world and the next. مَا تَخْشَى, everything that you fear, it will be enough. وَأْمَلْ لِمَنْ يُغْنِي, do actions for the one who suffices you. مَنْ اسْتَرْضَاهُ بِطَاعَةٍ أَنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَى, suffices you from the need of pleasing anyone else. This is powerful. If you do actions to please the creation, you're going to drive yourself crazy because you can't please them all. So you just keep trying to please people, trying to please people. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a beautiful hadith, one of my favorite, whoever iltamasa ridha Allah fi sakhatin nas, whoever seeks out the pleasure of Allah in spite of the anger of people, Allah will be pleased and Allah will cause the people to be pleased with him. But whoever seeks out the pleasure of people in spite of God's displeasure, Allah will be displeased with him and the people will never be pleased with him. There you go right there. Like, who are you trying to please through your actions? Allah give us tawfiq. وَأْمَلْ لِمَنْ إِذَا اجْتَنَبْتَ نَحْيَةً نِلْتَ كَرَامَةَ وَكُلَّ يُؤْبُغْيَةً. He says, and do actions for the one that if you stay away from what he has prohibited, you will gain honor. Kulla yughya, wa kulla bughya, and every noble thing. So that's the end of today's dars. Imam Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba rahimahullah has given us beautiful advice, brothers and sisters, regarding this very, 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 very deadly disease, which is adamul ikhlas min bab riya, to have lack of sincerity in your actions. And so just to conclude, what I think our homework from this dars is that whatever actions you're doing, brothers and sisters, focus on why I'm doing the action. If you see any motivation due to people, check it right there. Say to yourself, what are the people going to give to me? What can they possibly give to me? A smile, congratulations, a pat on the back, happiness for a week or so versus Allah's pleasure. Remember, that worship is like a diamond, and you doing that worship for the sake of that person is like selling it for nothing, right? So this is considered one of the most serious diseases of the heart. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us protection from it. Remember, the sources of it are three. The sources are you hate, you love the feeling of the pleasure of praise, you run from the hurt of criticism, and you want what people have control over. Like, you think they have something to give you special. If you cure these three things, then you're protecting yourself from this dangerous disease of riya, inshallah. Any questions? Questions? Okay, yes.
So, I do this often where, like, if I want to read Quran daily, I try to make it to a point where, like, if the kids are not home, or I try to make it to a point where I do it, I'm going to do it anyways, but I do it in front of them, so they see that this is a part of life.
Yeah.
And then needs to be done every day. Would that be?
You just said I do it anyway.
Yes.
There you go. Okay. It's pure. You just said I do it anyway. And now they see it too, alhamdulillah. Nur ala nur. But remember, I'll do it anyway is the key. That's the key. That's the key. I'll do it anyway. The main test, guys, you want to see where you got riyah? Just go home and try to bust out some of the ka and stuff. You all lazy, quick ruku. I'm saying that's a sign right there. You would never, subhanAllah, one sheikh said, you would never publicly recite Quran the way you recite it to yourself when you pray. If we put a mic there, you'd be like, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbi. But the way you do it when it's by yourself, Astaghfirullah, yo. Astaghfirullah, man. So the point, we all struggle. What I'm trying to say is like, just keep the hidden action as tight as the public. Try your best. Obviously, you're not going to do qira'ah while you recite, but you're going to do talafah properly. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do proper makharij. You know what I mean? So that's all. Just make sure the private, you try your best, that Allah's watching me too. Now, just have haya from yourself. You know what I mean? If someone said that to me, that was heavy. I was like, subhanAllah, you're right. If someone put the mic there, I'm like, astaghfirullah. Let me tighten up my qira'ah. Right? Hold on. Let's come to the brother's side. Yeah, so that's why brother brought up a good point. Last week we talked about ujub. So when you conquer, it's crazy. When you conquer riyah, the very next thing that you might get hit with is ujub. Okay, it's a struggle. See, I don't want people walking out like, I quit, yo. It's a struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. We're constantly trying to better ourselves. But let me talk about real quick ujub. Ujub is when you pat yourself on the back. You're like, oh, I did great. I'm amazing. Right? And the cure for that is easy. It's Allah's tawfiq. Remember? The cure for ujub is I didn't do it on my own. It's Allah's tawfiq. It's Allah's blessing. So, okay, I got past riyah. I woke up for tahajjud. After tahajjud was over, I felt good. I was like, astaghfirullah, ma'ad. This wasn't you. It was Allah's pleasure. Bam, I'm good. Alhamdulillah. But you gotta be careful still. You feel me? Okay, but I don't want anyone to get discouraged. Like, oh man, it's a struggle. But see, my point, brothers and sisters, is we're studying like the inner aspects of our spirituality, which normally in khutub and Sunday school we never talk about these inner realities of our religion. And now it's like, subhanAllah, we're talking about how to build ikhlas in our actions. Alhamdulillah, man, I think it's a really beautiful gift from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Yes. Yes.
So sometimes I do an act in hopes of people saying that I did it.
Yeah.
So that I can show them that this is what Islam is about because I represent a religion. So is that considered the
No, because they won't praise you for what you're doing. For real. You're doing mujahida. You walking around with a scarf on your head is mujahida. You're not getting praised for that. That's mujahida. That's a struggle. There's no riyah there. Because remember, riyah is you love the feeling of people praising you. You hate the feeling of people criticizing you. That's the opposite of walking around with a scarf on your head in Texas. Do you understand? Not all the time. But I want you to understand, you just being like that, giving dawah, is so beautiful. It's a struggle. Allah loves that. And that's the opposite of riyah. You should expect great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. It's amazing.
Can I ask a question related to that?
Yes, and then we'll come.
Yeah, related to
that. He's smart.
Can I actions like that for men and women lead to ujub too?
Say that one more time.
Can actions like that not lead to riyah, but ujub?
Yeah, yeah. But remember, we solved ujub last week. Ujub, the cure for ujub was, I didn't do it on my own. Allah gave me the tawfiq to do it. Allah blessed me with the ability to do it. It's not me. That was the cure for ujub. So, yeah, great. Yes, sister.
I think with her question, sometimes it's not about hijab, sometimes it's about things that they would praise
yeah.
Sorry, you know, they give charity. They're so generous.
So then you got to watch out for riyah then.
Yeah.
See, remember this, though. Remember your motive. Please go back to one question. What did Sister Neelam say when she asked me her question? What did she say? I would? Would you do that action? Would you pick up that stick from the middle of the road anyway? Would you do it? I'm not asking you, but that's a rhetorical question. If you would do it anyway, then that's a beautiful sign. That's a sign that the action is pure. But if it is purely people's gaze motivating you, then we fall into riya. Any other questions, inshallah ta'ala? Yes. Okay, last point. I won't go too long on this point. And it was something I was thinking about bringing up from the beginning. But the point she brought is, in the age of social media, how does that interact with riya? I mean, I think it's very clear. It's very, very clear how our righteous actions can be used to bring attention, bring more dunya to us. I think we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And you just have to ask yourself, would I do these actions as well if it wasn't public? Now remember, everything I said, one of the cures for riya is to do actions quiet. But remember, if you can keep your intention pure and do it public, the reward for open good deeds is amazing. Because you encourage other people to do them as well. So that's without a shadow of a doubt, amazing. So it's just about knowing yourself, okay? Not all of us have the same, like, there could be two people that one is active on social media with their Islam. I'm talking about Islam stuff, okay? Active on social media with Islam, and the other is active as well. One of them is affected by what people say, the other isn't. Those two people are two different people. Allah will judge them independently. I think we need to ask ourselves how much the social media is affecting, influencing, encouraging our righteous actions. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, well, there's like a hadith or something where there was a man that worshipped Allah alone, but he didn't tell everyone else in the town. So then,
the punishment came to him as well.
So that's what sometimes, like, when you see something, you're like, well, you know, let's say Sheikh Mikael explain this. Maybe I can make a post about this. But then it's like, maybe I shouldn't because I'm showing off.
No. Just see, right there at that spot, brothers and sisters, just make your intention. Remember this. How do you make intention? What does intention mean? Let's back up just really briefly, guys. What does intention mean? What's your intention for work tomorrow? When you go to work tomorrow, what's your intention when you get there at 9 a.m.? Why are you there? Be real. Thank you. Someone's being real. If the boss said you're not getting paid, please come in still. You'd be like, I'm out. Right? Your motivation, the thing that pushes you out of the bed in the morning, is literally the paycheck. Which is okay. That's beautiful. Not okay. It's beautiful. It's good. No, seriously. Intention is what's motivating you. What we need to question more is motivation. Why am I posting this thing? Some of us don't have an answer to that. I don't know. I want attention. I like likes. Likes feel good. They give me a dopamine release. Like, it's great. Other people are like, no, I want people to see it. I don't care about likes. I don't even check the likes. I post it and move on with my day. There you go, two different people. What's your motivation? So before you post it, just say, my motivation, all right, if people see this and get benefit, then I get the reward for what they do. I'm posting this. Move on with my day. And then don't check the likes later. No, likes are very dangerous, dude. It literally means like social acceptance and approval. Likes. Be careful. Allah gives tawfiq. We're done, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, let's make a dua. Let's make a prayer, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. Ya Allah, we ask you for your love. Ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those actions that will gain your love. And Ya Allah, we ask you for the love of those people who you love. Ya Allah, we beg of you, give us the ability to make our actions purely for your sake, Ya Allah. Give us the ability to only have one motivation, which is pleasing you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings. We ask you to forgive us for those deeds, Ya Allah, that we did for any reason other than your pleasure, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, by the blessing of this gathering, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, fill our hearts with ikhlas, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wa Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah reward everyone, inshallah. See you guys, inshallah. Next week is something dangerous. Jealousy. I'll give us a peek.